What you want to do? All right, y'all. Hey, what's going on out there? How y'all doing today? What's going on, my dear people? This is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And can you hear me up there? Hey, what's going on, y'all? How y'all doing today? Oh, man, I'm telling you. Yeah, I just want y'all to let y'all know I'm still working. I'm still working on this sound issue thing. So y'all have to work with me because, you know, it's gone to be some crazy stuff, you know. But I'm getting there. We slowly working it out. So what's going on out there? Well, I see my favorite fan, You Sure Are Crazy, is back, and they want to know how long before we hear that the USA is a corporation. I don't have to say it. You've already said it. So you brought it up. See, you thought you slipped that one by me, didn't you? All right, y'all. Hey, welcome to the show. I'm telling you, we got some things we do. What I did today is what? Midweek review. I only been on one day, so, you know, we going to review that day. Plus some other things going on, man. Woo! I'm telling you, so I hope y'all ready. Hope y'all ready to talk about some things. We had a pretty lively conversation yesterday. I really enjoyed that. So, you know, we're going to see if we can't have another lively conversation today as well on a couple of things that's going on, man. I'm telling you, we got the ferry crossing going on, the ferry that capsized in South Korea. You know, we done hey, North Dakota, they, you know, got the abortion law that's been ruled invalid and unconstitutional, got the Ebola outbreak in Africa. Man, we got all kind of stuff. Of course, you know, the regular stuff that's going on also, you know, between Russia, the Ukraine, you know, flight MH370, and all the other little thing of bobs that goes on, you know, on an everyday basis around here. So we got a whole lot to talk about. And you can guarantee it, we're going to be talking. Yes, we are. So I hope y'all ready. So you're going to get ready for get your context in and your drinks in and your cocktails and what have you, because we're going to do some things today. I want to give my shout-outs already. Let's see. We got a lot of people on the chat room already. They're coming and going. Of course, I know that has nothing to do with me, but, you know, of course, we have super fan Alora Elverness in the house, guest 890. Of course, the beautiful refine and design. And, of course, as I mentioned before, my favorite person, You Sure Are Crazy. You're right, I sure am crazy. That's right. I take that. That's right. I take medication for mine. What about you? I'm just saying, welcome to the show. All right. Now, for those out there listening, you want to be a part of the show, you want to comment on something that I may say or anyone else may say, no problem. Just give us a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com, or come join us in our chat room where the conversation is always lively and crazy at the same time. The only thing you do is just log in to www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. You get in the chat room, and we can have a great conversation there as well. And, you know, we're here, man. We are here. We ready to do the dang on thing. I see we got Divine Design in the house. You know, she disappeared and came back, but I'm glad she's here. you know, hugs and kisses to all my ladies out there. Hope y'all ready. And, of course, the male guests, thank y'all for joining us as well. I'm not going to give you no hugs and kisses, of course. I'm just going to tell you that. That's not going to happen, okay? But other than that, man, it's time to get busy. Now, if y'all haven't noticed, you know, I've changed the format up a little bit. And I think I was trying to explain this yesterday, but I don't think no one really heard anything I was saying. You know, we're not going to be doing the quote of the day and song of the day every day anymore. You know, after doing a little evaluation, I think we became a little more entertainment happy than actually conversation and talking about some things that really mattered. So don't get me wrong. You know, there will be some things that some days when we'll have some music, some days when we have a couple of quotes, but we just won't be doing that every day, all right? We just won't be doing it every day anymore, you know, so we can concentrate more on the things that we need to discuss and get out to the, so that's it on that. So if I disappointed some of y'all, I'm sorry, but, hey, it happens sometimes, you know, it happens. Now, but by chance you have, there's a song out there you want me to play, or you want to hear on the show, or a quote you want, you know, read, or you can come read it yourself, hey, ericletstalk@gmail.com, you know, send it to me there, or you go to the Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com, and I guarantee you, man, we got that, you know what I mean? We got that, you know, and I'll make sure we get it on. All right, so Divine Design got, what she got, HPV vaccine insert list death as adverse event, you think? You know what? That's funny. That's like some of that medicine that you hear on television all the time. You know, that's supposed to be so good for you until they start telling you what the side effects are. And then you have to sit back and think, well, dang, the side effects are worse than the actual symptoms that I already have. Why would I want to take that, you know? Then what happened a couple of months later, you see some attorney online, well, if you've taken so-and-so and you have experienced so-and-so, then you need to do so-and-so. You know what I mean? So what does that say? We already know. The vaccines they're giving us are a bunch of crap. We know this. And hopefully within the next couple of, between today and next week, we're going to have somebody on the show that's going to help solidify that thought process that these vaccines that they call themselves giving us, they're not as they seem, y'all. They're not as they seem. As long as we keep that in mind, we'll be doing a wonderful day. Good day, H2O. Welcome to the show. I'm glad you can make it. Y'all make sure y'all speak to H2O. Now, he get kind of sensitive when y'all don't speak to him. So go on and say hello to H2O. He's been around for a while now. He has morphed into all kind of people and names, but he's still with me. So y'all make sure y'all say hello to H2O. Oh, I got the Vivacious and Sexy Open Mic on the line with me. What's going on? How you doing? Okay. All right. 7065, welcome to the show. Ones on ones. Hey, what's going on? All right, so we got everybody on the switchboard. We got everybody in the chat room. So, you know, we ready to do the dang on thing, y'all. Let's get it going. Let's get it rock and rolling. Y'all show, you know what? You know, and here's the funny, here's the interesting thing about this show. You know, we have people come on and they say, well, I don't want to hear about this and I don't want to hear about that. But they're the main ones who start talking about things they don't want to hear about. You know what I mean? Hey, yes, you sure are crazy. I'm talking about you. And she said, how long will it be before we hear that USA is a corporation? They said, corporation only means it is not human in legal terms. Wait a minute. Don't be jumping. Legal terms that it is standing. It has standing in court. Mm-hmm. Corporation as it relates to USA means a body of people. Yeah, body of people. Yeah, what body of people, though? You know what I mean? What body of people? And that is the question we're going to talk about. You know, we say it's a corporation. You say it relates to a body of people. What body of people are you talking about, though? Is all everybody a part of the corporation? Huh? Oh, you sure are crazy. Say, Mr. Talk, you have been drawn. I got a news flash for you. I wasn't drawn to the dark side. I've always been on the dark side. I just come up to the light every now and then and see how you people living. Let me stop talking like that, boy. I tell you, somebody's going to take that the wrong way. Anyway, yes, U.S. citizens, Mr. Talk. That's what you sure are crazy saying as far as when we talk about the corporation. Well, you know what? Is everybody a U.S. citizen, though? I'm just going to ask this question. You know, I know what we say, you're born here, you're a citizen, da, 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 but really, realistically, truly, if we really want to technically look at it, are we really U.S. citizens, or are we just people living in this country that's made to believe to think we are U.S. citizens, huh? I mean, really, let's think about this. What rights do we really have, y'all? Now, some of us have more rights than others, and we ain't going to talk about the 1%ers and the 10%ers and all that good stuff. You know, are we really citizens, or are we just puppets of a corporation that want us to think that we are? Huh? Are we just, like the Muppets, you know, somebody got their hands up our back, or we got our strings, you know, making us do what they want us to do just to make us think, you know, that we You know, we citizens, and we get the choice to make decisions that will really count for what we want to happen. I'm just asking a question. I mean, you sure are crazy brought it up. I'm just asking a question. You know, are we? Or are we just puppets? You know, I often thought sometimes, you know, if you take the big picture of like what's going on in, you know, a galaxy, and you know how they sell little Hot Wheel cars in the stores and the little dolls? What if we're just a part of a big toy box? Have y'all ever thought about that? What if we bought a big toy box and we're just toys for somebody else, but we just made to believe that we got more going on than we actually do? Wouldn't that be something interesting? Or is that living on the dark side, as you saw our crazy saying? Or is that really opening your eyes up to what could be and realizing that we are not as unique and supreme as some of y'all would like for us to believe? That's all I'm saying. Oh, Lord have mercy. Oh, you supposed to be jealous of the rich is not productive. Who jealous of the rich? Hey, because you know what? I'm rich in my own way. You know, and that's another thing. A lot of people don't be jealous of the rich. What you mean don't be jealous of the rich? Are you talking about that money that they supposed to have? You know, there's a saying, more money, more problems. Yeah, there. That's what I'm talking about. Ain't nobody jealous of no damn rich people. I'm glad they got it, they got it. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? I'm rich because I got a brain that operates well. You know, it may go off to different frequencies every now and then, but it always comes back to where it's supposed to be. I'm just saying, man. I'm just saying. So don't be telling me on here, talking about don't be jealous of the rich. I'm not, because I'm richer than they are. That's all I'm going to say about that. In my opinion, I am. So it's all good. It's all good. Anyway, so hey, Antoinette, how you doing? Hugs and kisses to Antoinette. Anyway, y'all, so, man, I'm telling you, what a way to start the show already. See, that dang old Shiar Crazy, that's how I know Shiar Crazy to miss me, because he come here talking crazy, you know what I mean? But it's all good. It's all good. So, let's talk about some top news going on around here lately. Ferry Carrie, 462 people. Mostly high school students, sank off South Korea's southern coast last night, this morning, however you want to look at it. You know, there was, 30 crew members, 325 students, 15 teachers, and 89 people, regular passengers on that ferry. And that's not counting the automobiles that was on there also. You know, and that kind of puts, once again, you know, it kind of puts life in its perspective, you know. It really does. That goes to show you that no matter where you are, what you're doing, you never know when it's your time. You know. You know, we can roll this all the way back to the airplane, you know, Malaysia Flight 370. No, they still haven't found them individuals. Right? Right. I'm going to go back to that in a little bit anyway, because it's something I want to talk about that, because the longer it takes, the little more fishier it's beginning to become to me. But anyway, we're going to talk about that in a little while. But condolences go out to these families and those individuals that, you know, don't really know what's going on right now. At the last count, I think they said it was 6 dead, 55 injured, and 280 people still missing. You know, that's a whole lot of stuff going on, man. You know, that is a whole lot of stuff. And see, and what we fail to realize is they're in that water, man. They're in that water. In the water. And you know what the water means also? You see, y'all forgetting that Fukushima, all that radioactive stuff and all that's still floating around out there in that water. But, you know, that's something you're not going to hear about because you're not supposed to, that's not supposed to be the focal point of what's going on out there. But you have to because somebody is going to be affected by that. Heck, we are being affected right here in the United States, but they're not going to tell you that. Ask the individuals on the West Coast, Kauai, the Pacific, and all that good stuff. Yeah. But, you know, we're not supposed to realize that. You know, it's just, you know, you're supposed to be sad and, you know, you sure are crazy. Fukushima is on the other side of Japan away from the Korean ship. Okay, now we have currents. We have cyclones and all kind of stuff. And so it's just going to stay on that side of the world, right? It's quarantined to that side of the world. Is that what you're trying to tell me? They're crazy. Currents flow wherever the Lord wants the currents to flow. So you keep believing they just flow east if you want to, okay? See, and I'll say, you have to, you know, some of us, we just have minds that say, this is the way it's working, that's the way it's always going to work, and that's the way it's going to be. That's why you be coming out with ears on the side of your thighs and your big toe is located where your eyes should be because you keep realizing that everything flows the way you've been told it's supposed to flow. Crazy ass. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't say that out loud, did I? My mistake. But anyway, you know what? And before I get too far into this thing, you know, look at the map of currents. Have you ever heard that thing they call global warming? Global warming? Google. Oh, we're going to Google it now. Google going to tell us everything that's going on because Google is the sole truth as to what's really going on in the world. Let's Google it. Let's Internet Explore it. Let's, what else we got? MapQuest it. Let's satellite it. Let's even listen to NASA. Yeah. But hell, NASA can't tell us where a plane is located at now that's been gone for, what, 3-4 weeks? And you sure can't Google it, can you? But we put the mind on Google and make sure Google tell us about what's going on with the currents. Get the heck up out of here. You know what? I'm sorry, y'all. You know, it's one of those weeks, okay? It's one of those weeks, man. But anyway, I'll be back to this part of the show in a little bit. I want to talk about Africa a little bit, man, because there's something going on in Africa, you know, an Ebola outbreak. You know, and I didn't realize that there's no cure or vaccine for this thing, this so-called virus. Scary, man, and it's killing 60 to 90% of those infected right now. Yeah, and this is in West Africa. So far, 121 people have died in West Africa. In a place where the population is, what, 2 million? I know some of y'all say, well, that's not a lot. But really? I mean, you have this thing going where there's no cure nor vaccine, and it's just killing people. And here's the thing, you know, most people say, well, don't worry about it because you really can't get it unless you come in contact with somebody, the bodily fluid. Well, that's interesting, too. However, thing usually appears in Central and East Africa. Now it's in West Africa. And so somebody is spreading some kind of way. Yes, we have American CDC over there and a couple of other, you know, international agencies trying to figure out what's going on. But why don't we have a cure for that? Why haven't we ever heard about that? You know, a lot of times we talk genocide and all that, and you know, a lot of times we may talk out the side of our neck. Some of y'all think anyway, but this is kind of an underlying type of genocidal type atmosphere, I think. I mean, you got a virus over there that's killing 60 to 90% of the people that's infected, man. That's a unheard of number. Divine Design said the only way to stop Ebola is to find and isolate everyone who has come in contact. In that case, then it has to be everybody on West, Central, and East Africa. That's a lot of people, and we still not talking to individuals that may have come in contact with it that's flown to other parts of the world. But yet, why haven't we heard about this thing? You know, and you know, they show you a quick screen on the internet or something, and you may say, okay, it's Africa, blah, 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 and roll on. And see, DJ2L says for every virus there is an antivirus or a retrovirus. Good one, good one. So why isn't why weren't they fixing working on this one, the H2O? The 1995 movie Operate showed that anybody like virus spreading through the fictional California town where the real virus killed off nearly the entire village of Democratic Republic of Congo. Well, it's still going on. Oh, Lord. Now, I just wanted to bring that up, you know, because I think, you know, we talk about a lot of stuff, you know, even on Blog Talk Radio, we talk about a whole lot of stuff going on. But why do we never talk about what's going on in Africa? I know I brought up this little piece right here about the virus, but I'm sure there are some positive things going on over there, and I'm sure there's some individuals here in the United States that actually, you know, are doing positive things for those in Africa besides Oprah building schools. and what's that child name with the big lips? Y'all know who I'm talking about, Billy Bob. Billy Bob Thornton daughter, Angelique Jolie and her husband trying to and Madonna trying to adopt every little black kid from over there, you know. You sure are crazy, says currents in another hemisphere flow clockwise, so the Fukushima fallout will reach California before it reaches Korea. Facts matter. Learned this stuff in grade school. I wish I could build a school. You know what, though? Here's the thing about that, crazy. You got ships that travel all over the world. They just don't say in one portion of the other world. I mean, I understand what your school books say, but I'm using logic right about now, okay? But it's okay. It's okay. I'll let you go on and keep dealing with your school, with your grade school. All right? But anyway, I got somebody with their hand up, so let me go ahead and kick them in real fast, and we're going to come back and talk some more. Hey, we got we got plenty of time, so y'all get your thoughts together, because midweek in review, man. This is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and let me open up these lines here real fast. All right, let's see. We got area code 254 in the house. Welcome to the show. What you got for me today, and who do I have?
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, this is Michael.
Hello.
Can you hear me well?
Yes, sir. I can hear you fine. How are you?
Oh, I'm all right. I'm all right. I was in the office, so I had to walk out. Sorry. There's a point there that I did not exactly get to hear, so go ahead and ask the question again.
Depends on what question I was asking. I guess what I was asking is, who are you? What do you have for me today?
Yes, this is...
What you got to add?
Yeah, this is Michael Mutinda. I work here in Texas, and what I do every year is I have a medical mission that I take to the community. I was born in Kenya, a village called Malekini.
Mm-hmm.
And I started an organization called IFeedOne.org, and most of the times I sponsor this organization by the things that I do with my hands. I make wood and some sculptures on wood and then sell them, and I'm able to host clinics there every 2 months, and then a big event every year. And sometimes I take missionaries from here. Like last year I did that, and next year I'm going to take missionaries from here, and they go there and do some work there. And like you mentioned, there's a lot of small things that really are a problem. Over there, malaria is still a problem. There's no clinic nearby. There's no medication, and small things are killing people. And I am not sure if the government is ready to do something soon. Looks like they're still waiting. I don't know until when. So that's basically what I do. Maybe you have another question. I can talk like you. I hear you can talk. And if I roll out, I can talk a lot.
You can talk a lot? Oh, okay. It's interesting that, you know, that I do have you on the line. you know, I just found it interesting that, you know, we have outbreaks, you know, in areas in Africa, such as Ebola, and, you know, it's not something that we hear about every day until, you know, it's too late, you know, and I just found it interesting, and being that you always seen I guess you say infomercial stuff about, you know, send a dollar a day and medication and all this is going on here, but yet we still have, you know, viruses outbreaking over there that's killing a whole bunch of people, and nobody really seems to be concerned about that. You know, is this something that's, you know, is it really true, or is it just more propaganda that they want you to believe?
I'm not sure on what side you are asking that they want us to believe, but the reality is that those diseases are there. The question is, what is the cause of that? I mean, what has caused that, and why that part of the country? What is really going on? There are things we may not know. The reality is that is happening. The reality of some things that are happening in Africa is very true, but the dynamic on why that part of Africa, why those things are happening in Africa, I kind of think that it's more that we are not told than we know. So just your guess is as good as mine, because it's as good as mine, because really we're not sure. Why, sometimes I ask myself, why is this not happening at part of the world? Why is it on this section of the world? What's happening on this? Really? And then we do not see it, like you mentioned, like I don't know if you are talking about Hiroshima, you know. Okay, and this happened. We
right.
had a lot of people go there in the name of, we are going to treat, we are going to check this. You don't know. Was there an investigation? Was there something going on? What's happening? What's really going on? That remains a question with everyone. And we may not suspect, we may not say this or that. So it still remains a question to me as well.
Okay. So, I mean, hold on for a minute. Knowledge, I see you out there. I'll get to you in a minute. But, Michael, I have some questions, and you say you do missionary work over in Africa, or is this just something you do, or you're part of a bigger organization?
I am not a part of a big organization. My organization is ifeedone.org. That's my organization. It's a small one. It's just small, but that's what I use to go and do some work over there. Ifeedone.org. And I'm not affiliated to any organization, big organization, so I'm not dealing with a lot of money. I'm not dealing with a lot of income. It's not really something that I am doing in a big way. Yes, I expect the future to be able to build a clinic over there. I have those project proposals already in place, but, you know, sometimes unless you are something, you may not get these big donors to come to you to help what your vision is. But what I'm doing already in small portions is really effective right now. I just got a call yesterday, and somebody was calling me, telling me, you know what you're doing here has helped us a lot. Say my mom was sick and now is feeling well, and that has been a problem. She went to many places to get a cure, but she did not get that. Apparently some medication we come with from here, they are better off than ones over there. So I've been having a question of what kind of quality of medication do they have? Do they have quality control over there in Kenya or what? I'm not disparaging the government, but I still have questions like what happens if they got pain medication, they take it, they don't feel the pain going away. And when you give them any ibuprofen from here, the pain goes away within 30 minutes. Then you wonder, what's going on? There's a lot of things that a human being is faced with, and we just pray that every time we get some people who are heroes to go out there and fight for their generation.
Okay. So, Mike, let me ask you a question. Are you willing to take questions about your organization right now, or would you like to call in at another time and...
Absolutely. I got like 5 minutes. I can take questions. I have 5 minutes. I can take questions.
Okay. Well, I have somebody with their hand up, so let me bring them in and see if they have any questions for you, okay? Let's see. All right, let's see. Mr. Knowledge, welcome to the show, sir. Do you have anything for Michael, or what you got for me today?
Good afternoon, first of all.
Good afternoon.
Question-wise, no, I I don't have any questions for Michael. However,
okay,
I would like to add that when we look at the history of Africa, for some reason in the United States, black people like to look at Africa as, and I'm not saying all, I'm being general. They like to look at Africa as a monolithic group, and it's so far from that. Africa is extremely tribal, depending upon where you're at, what country you're in. When you cross from one border to the next, it's a completely different way of politics are done, the way the civilization is run. When we go back, just as an example, we go back to Rwanda, where you had the Hutus and the what was the opposing tribe?
Tutsis,
right. Now, here you had an extreme tribal warfare where, you know, people were going around with machetes hacking each other up. Now, that whole missionary piece, see, that's dangerous. First of all, we have to understand that the medical industry operates on faith, just like money. If you get people to believe in it, then it works. However, when you go to the hospital and that doctor prescribes something for you and he brings out that vial and puts it in that hypodermic needle, you're assuming that the doctor actually believes that what's in that vial is what's on the label. They don't test that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor doesn't know. He's just trusting the fact that what it says is what it is. Now, this goes back to your pharmaceutical companies, to all of these entities that are intertwined. So what we have to understand when you're talking about vaccines and inoculations, no one really knows what's in there. They're just accepting the fact that, okay, well, you got this. Here's what we have for this. Here, let me give you this and take this. And we go, okay, well, he's the professional. He spent his whole life studying. He knows. Well, we all know that in any industry, in any society, any group of people, you have those who are doing it for the love of it, and then you have those who are doing it for personal reasons, whether it be ill-gotten gains, material wealth, whatever the case may be. So when we see all of these outbreaks and we see all of this stuff going on, that's when we need to realize maybe this really isn't what we think it is. And the best way to do it is under the guise of missionary work. Because missionary work is non-threatening. For me to come to you and your tribe as a group of people and espouse to you the importance of loving your fellow man and loving your God and all of these good things, and don't do unto others as, you know, you wouldn't want them to do unto you, is completely different than me telling you, hey, we need you to change your government. We got cash flow. Here's what we're going to do, and here's what the plan is. Now, who's on board? And whoever isn't on board, we're going to have to get rid of you. See, that causes hysteria. That causes fear. But let me come over there with that Bible, and we can sit around the campfire and go, kumbaya, we all love each other. This is all our world. We're all meant to be here together and to live as one. Oh, by the way, I see you have six children. I see you have sick elderly people. Oh, here, I have something for that. Try this. There you have it. We got an old saying in Oakland. See a sucker,
bump head. All right. You know what? You made some very interesting points there, Knowledge, especially about the part, you know, you go and sit around the campfire saying kumbaya. Then, oh, by the way, you got illness? Yes. We got something for that. But yet, you know, as you say, you don't know what's in it. Compared, especially if, you know, depending on if it's that part of the world, how, you know, actually would react to their bodies and, you know, their immune system, because it's totally different than what we deal with here on this side of the world also. So you make some very good points, you know, and we may be doing more harm than good if we really take a look at it without, you know, actually doing anything, doing any real viable, testing, I guess, for lack of a better word, you know. But I got somebody else with their hand up, so let me bring them in. Michael, you still got enough time, or
yes.
We need to
yes.
get you, let you come back? Okay.
Yes.
All right, let me bring, let's see, we got area code 111. Welcome to the show. What you got for me? Who am I speaking with?
Good afternoon. It's Beasley.
Well, hello, Mr. Beasley. How are you today?
I'm good. Part of the reason you don't see the Ebola virus over here is because we don't consume the bush meat that they eat in Africa. And when I say bush meat, I'm talking about bats. Bats, they're like reservoir for viruses. Bats carry all type of things. And bats are on the menu in many places in Africa. They make bat soup. They grill bats. And bats carry these diseases. Also, these diseases are carried in rats and also in monkeys. And people eat these animals. And this is the primary reason. I don't know if it's any big conspiracy. I wouldn't be surprised if the powers that be wanted to decimate the populations of people in Africa because they consider them useless eaters for the most part. But it's the consumption of bats and rats and monkeys. It's the bush meat that people have eaten quite some time that's been proven to cause the Ebola virus. Michael will verify that.
Okay.
That's true. That's
well,
true.
Michael,
that's
is
true.
There
that's
any... go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm saying it's true.
It's very true.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We have a lot, you know, definitely when it comes to the things that have to do with immunity, a lot of immunities from the, when you get exposed to something, then you develop immunity to that. So there is that. There's a lot of immunity actually in Africa. You see people living life that you cannot imagine them living in here. But again, like I said, some small things that are really a problem up to today, they remain a question. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I got a comment out of the chat room says, bushmeat is a small part of the problem. Animals living in the forest mainly eat the green stuff. So is it really from eating the bush meat, or is it more to it than, you know, as we mentioned before?
Well, I mean, I can't be for sure. I'm just talking of going on what I've read.
Let me add something to what you're saying when you talk bush meat. These animals, even when you're domestic animals, there's no other way to get them grow. It's just use the regular grass. You take them to the forest and they grow. That's all you do. So that becomes so natural.
I remember being in Ghana many years ago, and they had rats, but they called them grass cutter. And they didn't eat garbage. They were out in the bush. And they eat greenery, and people ate those rats. I remember bats being sold well for people to eat. This is many years ago.
Can I add something to that?
Sure you can.
Bats are not only eaten in Africa. Bats are eaten in Southeast Asia.
Right.
The Southern Pacific Rim. And I'm not discrediting that might be part of it. However, when you're talking about an indigenous group of people who have basically survived on the same diet for hundreds and hundreds of years. How are they coming up with all of this stuff now?
I mean, I hear what you're saying.
Go back to slavery. What did slaves eat that most black folks say they don't eat now?
Pork. Yeah. Right.
Now, if you actually go back, other than a slave being killed, okay, other than a slave being killed, has the lifespan of the American black increased or decreased?
It's decreased. It's still 10 years behind average white.
Thank you. It's decreased, hasn't it, Mr. Tom?
Why is that?
Yes.
What do you think that is?
That's the point that I'm getting at, Michael. A lot of times we look at things that are on the surface. It's like water. Okay. You can see stuff that's swimming on the surface, but until you dive in, there's a whole bunch of stuff below the surface that never comes to the top. That's much more dangerous. That you never see.
Hmm. Well, I mean, if we're going to go that route, then we can actually say that, you know, if we go back to when our ancestors, what they were eating, they ate what they grew without all that unnecessary insecticides and GMO that's being added to the stuff today. You know, and they ate what they could eat, you know, and it's just that simple. And they survived. They lived longer.
Now, here's, and I'm glad you brought that up, because there's something that's remaining constant in this discussion, and then there's something mm-hmm. that's changing. What people are eating hasn't changed. What's changed is what's either being added to what they're eating, what's being added to their water, what's being mm-hmm. added to their environment. So is it real? Have the rats changed? Have vermin changed at all? I don't think so. Vermin have not evolved. Rats have not evolved they haven't morphed into something new. However, those same rats, are dealing with the same changes in the environment and the same changes that the people are going through. They're dealing with the changes in the water. They're dealing with the changes in the climate. It's not just eating a filthy animal, because we're all in this together, the animals, us, everything. So once we start mm-hmm. changing, once we start changing the parts, and that, you know that old saying, the sum of the parts is equal to the whole.
Correct.
So how do you affect the whole? How do you make the whole change? You start working on the parts.
Wow. You know what? That makes a whole lot of sense. You know,
You work on the animals, you work on the plant life,
uh-huh.
you work on the water system, mm-hmm. you change the ecosystem. That will affect every living species in that particular ecosystem.
So why do we still have stuff like Ebola that supposedly has no cure to it in?
Just throwing it out.
What he's implying, at least what I'm hearing, is that there's some sinister forces that are putting this virus or putting viruses in these animals or in the water where it affects everybody. And I'm not saying that's not true, but there's a much quicker way if you just want to wipe people out.
But that's not what they want. They don't want to just wipe people out. That would cause mass hysteria.
Maybe so. Maybe no. You brought up the Hutus and the Tutsis. They probably killed 3 or 4 million people. There were other conflicts, I think, between Muslims and non-Muslims in Zaire, or the modern-day Congo, where they say as many as 6 million people died. And it does, and it gets some attention, but it doesn't get the type of attention that unrest and problems in other areas of the world do.
Right, right. But you know, that's something a little different, because the Islam-Christian conflict has been going on
maybe it's not that different.
Thousands of years.
But it still can be manipulated.
Of course.
And it still can be exacerbated by an outside force that wishes, you know, some of this population would go away. And it seems to me that that's a much quicker route. Just set the people against each other.
I'll leave it at this, and then I want to listen to what everybody else has to say, because I don't want to take up time. I'm going to quote John D. Rockefeller when he was at the Senate committee meeting. This was back in the, I think it was like the late 60s or early 70s. And this is what John D. Rockefeller said. Give me control of the money, and I care not what your laws are.
Well.
And I'll leave it at that.
And see, we done rolled right on back to the money now, huh? So.
That's at the end of the day, Mr.
Well,
Talk,
I'll tell you.
At the end of the day, that's it. Did you think Wu-Tang was playing when they said cash rules everything around me? That's real talk.
Wu-Tang. No, now we quoting Wu-Tang up in here. That's what I'm talking about.
You don't quote anybody you want. But I'm saying there's truth. I'm saying there's a lot of truth in it. And just because someone is not a part of a NGO, a non-governmental organization, or a politician or a government, doesn't mean that they can't see profound truths that are right in front of them. The problem is that we have a herd mentality on this world right now, and that's a byproduct of a global community where you get people in lockstep. You get them thinking alike. You get them acting alike. You give them the same stimuli, and over time, they are going to replicate it over time. It doesn't have to happen right away. And that's the only reason why I was saying to Beasley that, you know, you don't want to create. That's the one thing you don't want to do when you have a planned society, is create mass hysteria, unless you got a plan you're trying to enact right away. Hence 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Hence the Reichstag in Berlin, back during Hitler. You create something that can instantaneously galvanize people. Other than that, all of the projects that they have are long-term projects, because these people that we're talking about, they think hundreds of years in advance. The average person, they just trying to get through day to day. They don't have time to sit back and think and plan something for generations to come. Most of us, we don't have that kind of time. We don't have the resources.
Exactly. Even if you had the time, you don't have the resources. Or even if you had the time and the resources, you don't have the desire.
Right. Right. Agreed.
Okay. You know what? I agree with you. And the more we talk, the more I think about the natural resources that's available over in Africa. You know, so could this be said, as we say a lot of times here in the United States, the silent genocide that's been planned for eons, for years and centuries, that's just beginning to really take hold and do some damage now?
Am I just out there in left field a little bit? No, I mean, it's the same thing that's been going on. You got genocide, you got fratricide, you got a number of ways where you can institute these plans and these programs, and you can get them to virtually rotate on their own axis, meaning that you proliferate it through the society, and then you can just step back, and it's like the earth revolving around the sun. It'll just keep going and keep going and you don't even have to do anything to it anymore.
And the rape of Africa for its natural and human resources has been going on for 600-700 years. For 600-700 years,
yeah.
the most valuable resources besides the human resources, and that's valuable resource. It built America. It built South America. I mean, a lot of hours and hours and hours and years of labor. But just look at everything that's been taken from South Africa and Rhodesia. We're talking about billions of dollars of gold, silver, diamonds, platinum that have built institutions that last forever.
Right, and I'm glad you brought that up, Beasley, because I was just going to interject. People need to read up on King Leopold II in Belgium in the
Cecil
late
Cecil Rhodes.
It's Cecil Rhodes, who they named Rhodesia after, who was from England, John Dee's, the Club of Rome. You know, you have, and these things have been discussed on your show. However, these are not innocuous organizations. They just are not innocent, and then all of a sudden, they just pop up. Cecil Rhodes was a part of the De Boers, that whole thing. And then you had the British East Indian Company or corporation, where they went in, not only they went into India, because Britain has always been the masters of colonization, even
right.
though they probably have one of the smallest militaries in the world. They don't even have a military of any significance because they figured out a better way to do it. You ain't got
to
go drop
a
bomb.
Yeah, get us to do it.
There you have it. There you have it. So there's a lot that goes into that. And when you have think tanks, and just like here in the United States, you got the Rockefeller Foundation, you got the Carnegie Foundation, you got the Mellon Foundation. Now Bill Gates is funding vaccinations in Africa up the wazoo and been doing it for at least the last 10, 15 years. Okay? And a lot of people don't even know. Bill Gates' father, when Margaret Sanger came up with Planned Parenthood, Bill Gates' father was the first director of it. Planned Parenthood.
Hmm.
So now Bill Gates Jr. is just coming full circle. He had to generate enough wealth to where he could just, you know, you don't even see him as a part. Ever since Steve Jobs died, you said Bill Gates just dropped off the map with that whole Microsoft thing because it's rotating on its own axis. It'll never stop.
Wow.
But let me
see. We got a question. Oh,
let me sit back.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish up.
No, I'm done. I said, let me sit back and listen. I'm putting myself on mute. And just
oh, okay. We got a question coming out of the chat rooms from Laura Elverness says, why didn't the Africans unite and fight back?
Because they've never been united. And Michael can
right.
attest to this. They're tribal.
Right.
They're tribal from one country to the next. Those people didn't all speak the same language.
Within the same country.
Yeah, they don't
yeah.
all speak the same language. They're not all of the same religious
that's,
faith.
That's correct.
In Accra, you have Fanti, you have Twi, you have Ga. These are separate. I guess you could call them ethnicities. They speak a different language.
Mm-hmm.
They're different people.
Yeah, that's very true, and I support that there's no unity because last month when the president of Kenya apologized to the Rhodesia because they did not offer any support in 1994.
Wow. You know, that sounds a lot like what we got going on today right here in America, huh? I'm just saying. And, you know, because that same question is always asked here. Why don't we reunite and fight back? And they say the answer is the same, apparently.
We got tribalism
because,
here, too.
Yeah, of course we do.
I grew up with tribalism.
You know, but isn't that the way, that's the way to defeat anybody, keep them divided and fighting among themselves? Yep.
That's one of the ways, but that's why you have borders.
That's the easiest.
Just think about this. Think about this. What if, just hypothetically speaking, what if there were no borders? What if there were no demarcations on a map that says, okay, this is Ethiopia, this is the Congo, this is Kenya? Just as an example, what would the people have to fight over? If there's no borders.
You know what, actually?
People within the borders would find a way to fight. Right.
Yeah, my point is, find
a reason to fight.
My point is, it would be less desirable because there's no distinction between you and me. I have no nation. What if I have no nation and you have no nation? I have no flag to feel proud about, and you have no flag to feel proud about.
Right.
I have no language that's separate from yours. Anything that we fight about is going to be on a real personal level. It's going to be you cheated me out of something or something. We just disagreed on something. But as far as getting a community together to fight, it's not going to happen that often. I'm not saying it won't happen. I'm saying it because there's no border. There's no demarcation. There's nothing that says you're different from me.
There's no, I think what he's saying also is that there's no common identity that everybody buys into.
There you have it.
Common identity. A woman yesterday is in the news, killed her roommate over $10, over a $10 debt. South Central LA yesterday.
Wow.
Over a $10 debt. So, I mean,
$10.
Even within, yeah, well, you know, arguments can, you know, arguments when people are on edge, an argument can escalate. All it takes is a couple of name calling and hit a couple of soft spots, and, you know, all bets are off. But I hear what knowledge is saying.
So what proliferates all of this division is the fact that you have Africa and then Africa subdivided. You have the United States and then it's subdivided in the states. You go to Japan and it's subdivided into prefectures. You go to China and, you know, that China is probably a little bit more monolithic than probably any other region of any sizable landmass in the world, China and Russia.
Do you think that's because they have an authoritarian government? That seems to keep people in line. I bet if the authoritarian government were gone, you would see chaos and division and warring there, just like you've seen in Iraq, just like you've seen in Yugoslavia. It seems like when the guy with the heavy hand that keeps order, when he's displaced, it seems like everybody, you know, it seems like they start going at each other. But when the heavy-handed leader, whether it be Tito in Yugoslavia or whether it be Saddam, when they're taken out of power, you see divisions and chaos and people fighting and killing each other. I would bet that if the government in China, the heavy-handed authoritarian government, probably one of the most heavy-handed governments in the world of any country, if they were to be deposed and out of power, you would see a lot of conflict there as well.
I would agree, but that won't happen. China is so steep.
No, I doubt it would happen either. They're
so steep in the way that they do things, and they've probably been, of all modern, and China is not modern, but when we're talking about modern times, they have probably been the most consistent territory in terms of how things are done. They operate closest to monolithic probably than any other place on the world.
Hold on, gentlemen, before we get to talking about China real fast. So I'm looking at something in the chat room that I think we do need to address here. Let's see, do you know what kills most children in third world countries? Dehydration due to ignorant parents who do not know how to hydrate their children. no access to clean water. You know, with that type of thinking, isn't that kind of part of the problem that, you know, being on the outside looking in, we really don't understand what the problems is, the problems are in places such as Africa? You know, when you see all these different images of kids, you know, starving, you know, malnutrition and stuff like that, and, you know, the so-called, the not third world countries, but the civilized worlds, industrialized worlds, think it's just from a lack of parenting or lack of knowing what to do. Is it more from a lack of not having the proper access to the things such as clean water? Resources, that's what I'm looking at. The proper access to proper resources?
I think there's a lot of truth to that statement, because you can survive longer off of a lack of food than you can water.
Gotta have water.
Mm-hmm.
That if you ain't got water, you can have food. If you ain't got water, man, and I don't know, I've had to go to the hospital for dehydration before. Your whole body shuts down. That is no joke. Because when you're dehydrated, you will collapse, you will pass out, you will
die. Your organs shut down.
Exactly.
Right.
It's like
right.
somebody just.
But my,
it's,
my,
it's like somebody.
But
just
my question is should that be blamed on the parents themselves, or is should it be looked upon as they don't have access to maybe the clean water supplies or. Or tables, or you know, the necessary stuff needed to keep the
no. Like any large problem, I don't think there's any one simple solution. It's a variety of things that play that make the thing that make the situation happen. But I would say that industrialization, greed, capitalism all plays into that, because there's no reason why some should have so much and others should have so little, not even clean drinking water. And, of course, I mean, there's pockets in the world that's all over the world that have decades and decades of poverty. And, you know, that poverty comes into play. In order, it's a zero-sum game. In order for someone to have, someone must not have.
Okay. Good. Let me ask Michael then. I mean, you know, Michael, you know, he's over there doing work over there. Michael, is that the case, or is it just the lack of individuals being taught how to survive?
Actually, I did not hear very well what he was actually talking. I did not get everything that he said, but I still have... some information. Can you brief a little bit of what you just said? Just touch on it a little bit. There's some things that skipped a little bit. Hello?
Oh. Okay.
Can you hear me?
Basically,
yeah.
Well, I'll let Mr. Beasley go ahead. He says it so eloquently. You
want
to recap what you just said, Mr. Beasley?
I'm just saying that most problems, situations, they don't just have one cause that you could that there's a variety of causes that lead to something, as people not having clean drinking water and the parents not knowing that drinking that hydration and drinking water is an important part of the life process. But I would say that the way the world is set up with industrialization, greed, capitalism, for some to have so many, It leaves others with so little.
Absolutely. Now
that's what I'm saying. That's probably a big part of why people live unaware and uneducated of how important water is to the life, to sustaining life, and how people would probably even drink, you know, dirty water, because they don't know. If they knew, and they had access to clean water. They wouldn't.
So, you know, now, like for me, speak from experience, because I grew up in a place that we had to go to the river that we fetch water. And if you go to my website, you see a place, one of the pictures I took at university to my village, you see one of the pictures there in one of the newspapers where I'm fetching water and putting it in there, carrying it with a bucket. And you realize that we use the rivers, and the same rivers, they're the same rivers people take shower, wash their clothes, and it's only God who helps that if they are drunk, they just settle in the river, and then we use that water to drink, and you can be stepping on the water and use your hands to drink it, and you are satisfied that you're okay with that. And most of it, like you just said, is because the resources are there, but the distribution of the resources is not adequate, because there's a gluttonous, people want money. The government signed project that would take water to those places is still in place, but nobody acts into that. And if something, the money is released for that, it doesn't work, because somebody intercepts the money, put it in the pocket, and the village goes without water. And so these are things that really for sure they happen. And we hope that we have reasonable leaders in every community, because that way then we can help a lot. Some of the people don't stay in poverty because they are not working hard. Some things like roads, that water, those things can improve life drastically. And the other things like those minor care, medical care, or those small things can improve their life. But is anybody looking into that? No. A lot of our leaders, they're out there, they want to make money, they want to bless their friends who are supporting them for politics. Actually, one thing I've been thinking is politics become very expensive nowadays. No wonder they get there, they are corrupt. That's my take.
Mm-hmm. Can I share something real quick?
Go ahead.
If for anybody that's familiar with the Middle East, if you actually look at the Middle East is surrounded, other than land that goes north, the Middle East is surrounded by the Mediterranean Sea, the Red Sea, the Persian Gulf. Now, and I'm only bringing this up because we're talking about water, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you see the word sea, that means that it's salt water. So I find it ironic because you can drive from the Middle East into Egypt. You don't even have to cross water. However, you got people in Africa that don't have clean water, but you have people in a region right next to it that are surrounded by salt water, and they don't have the same problem. Salt water from the ocean, salt water is not, technically it's, you can drink it, but you shouldn't. However, how is it that we don't hear about lack of water and dehydration in the Middle East?
Hmm.
And they're surrounded by salt water.
Hmm. Well, now that's a very interesting question.
Well, let me make it simple. The answer to that is desalinization.
Hmm. Once again, but someone had to teach them to do that, correct?
Yeah, this is what I think that Crazy was alluding to earlier, is that there are solutions. However, when you get governments and special interest groups involved in the process, or they find their way into the process, that humanitarian effort takes a back seat, even though through the propaganda machine, the humanitarian effort is what's being displayed constantly. You know, they always, they kill me with these commercials, and Michael, I would like to hear your take on this. Here in the States, you always get these commercials when they show you Africa. Why I always got to look at a starving black human being with flies all around his face? I got to see a baby with the stomach the size of a woman who's 8 months pregnant. A baby. This is the this is the visions of Africa that I get. And this is done strategically. It's to pull at the humanitarian part of us, that human part of us that's like, man, that's messed up. Man, this is, it shouldn't be like that. And then all of a sudden, all of this money starts getting generated. However, I'm in Georgia. If I decide to donate $100,000, unless I hop my ass on an airplane and fly over to where I've been donated it, I really don't know where that money's going or what's being done with it. I really don't know.
That's why the donor should be given feedback, real feedback of what has been done.
Exactly.
They should, and they shouldn't ask for it.
But when you say a real feedback, Michael, what do you mean by real feedback? I mean, because if I was to receive some money, I could always send you a receipt that said, okay, we received your funds and this is what we plan to do with it. But how do you know that's actually going on with the funds?
Yeah, that's technical. But again, you know, if there's a lot of ways to know. One thing is if you're giving such kind of money, you are able one time to travel there and see if you're giving it towards a particular project. You say, well, I'm building a clinic or a hospital. You know, build, you're told it's ready, and which is the place, and you fly and go there and see it. That's it. Don't even waste time. It takes a very short time nowadays to travel. You go and look at it and come back. And that is very important. I would not donate money and not wish to get a feedback on reality. And if it takes me to go there, I will go. That's me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go there. Because I had to narrow down to those who I work with, especially where I do. I narrowed it down to a particular few individuals who I trust. Because even working with church leaders, it became so hard. It was like, really, I'm not getting anywhere. So I narrowed down a few people that I realized that that is in their heart to do for the purpose of their community. So for me, even while I'm doing right there, I know I'm asking some people, are you seeing? Because I do clinics every 2 months. I call some individuals, did you hear there was a clinic? Yes, there was a clinic. And how many people attended? Other people, not those I trust and do that. And then I get to know that. So we got to be wise, even if you are donating money. You got to be wise because what is it in for you? Your desire is to see what you thought, what you were told would be done, your desire to see it done. That's your joy. That's your joy. Nothing else. That's your joy. Because your goal
nothing
was
else.
To see something accomplished. Nothing else. Your joy is to see the accomplishment of that.
Okay, let me ask this question, and maybe this getting a little too specific, but let's say with your particular organization, okay, say I send $10 over toward whatever, say, building a school. Out of that $10, how much of that actually is going to be made available toward the building of the school?
Mine is a small organization. So I am actually spending almost 95% of that because they have cut the 5% just to send the money over there. I'm spending 100% of that money on that because I'm a small organization. When it grows, of course, I will have some people I've hired because I have some nurses. I will have a building. I will have people that I'm paying. So definitely will be working in there. But again, I will not have middlemen. Not at all. I will not have middlemen. That's one thing, because I come from there. I know what is happening. I know what has been happening. That's the advantage I have, and that's why I'm able to do even when I'm here. And I'm not even spending a lot of money. About $300, I'm able to do one day medical mission immunization and all that. I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Are you working or are you on the phone?
Uh-oh. Okay. Wow. I understand. I see someone in the chat room said, well, it's better to help small organizations, not the big fat ones. So would that be basically a true statement? If you are going to donate, go ahead and help the smaller organizations than the big fat ones, as they say, that you see on infomercials late at night?
That's true. But again, even, you know, the small organizations, others start with their own issues or plans and all that. But again, I think much of it should be guided by your perception to what is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just research and get your perception and trust your instinct.
Okay. All right, I understand. But the bottom line is make sure you get some type of feedback no matter who you're sending your funds to.
Absolutely.
Okay. You know what? I can get with that. I really can. Well, Michael, I want to thank you for joining because I know you got to get back to work.
Thank you.
Get you in no trouble.
Thank you.
But thank you, and you're welcome to come back and chat with us at any time, man. Okay? Keep us abreast of what's going on with your organization, you know, and maybe we can help you out as much anytime we can.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. But before I go, let me see if the gentleman or anybody else have any more final questions for you. Knowledge, Mr. Beasley, y'all have anything else for Michael before I let him get up out of here?
No, I'm going to be nice today.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, Michael, thank you once again, man. Have a good one.
Have a good one.
All right, thank you. All right, man, I tell you. You know, it's always good to have somebody kind of on the inside to give you kind of a little inside look at what's really going on. You know, I mean, not to say that, you know, my regular crew don't give us some great inside knowledge because they do, but, you know, when somebody's actually there working on the inside, making things happen, is always good to know there's something positive happening one way or the other. You know what I mean? Wouldn't y'all agree with that? I think I would anyway. So, Africa. We didn't get rid of Africa. We have got rid of, but we're going to move on to the next hot topic I wanted to talk about today. And I think this should be really interesting. We're going to move over to North Dakota, y'all. North Dakota. And we're going to talk about that great thing. Called abortion. All right. Let's see. North Dakota, fatal heartbeat abortion law ruled invalid and unconstitutional. A federal judge ruled a North Dakota law bans abortions when a fetal heartbeat is detected is invalid and unconstitutional. Now, this would have banned abortions as early as 6 weeks. Do y'all think that's a good thing, or should they have left it alone? You know, abortion is one of those things that's a real heated topic, no matter who's talking about it. So what do y'all think about that? You know, when a fetal heartbeat is heard, should that just automatically say no abortion, you shouldn't have an abortion then? Or no matter what, should you have an abortion if you have, you know, that's your choice? What y'all think about that? You know, let's talk. Let's talk about it. Talk to me.
All right. Well, I can chime in right away on this. I'm pro-choice. I'm not pro-life. I'm pro-choice. I am not qualified, nor do I have a moral obligation to tell someone, you know, hey, you can terminate this child or you can't terminate that child. That's not my decision to make. So I just kind of, I don't know if I'm dodging the issue or just sidestepping it. It's just, That's out of my realm. As a man, I don't know what it's like to be pregnant. I don't know what it's like to carry a child. I never will. I don't know what it's like to be in a circumstance where you even try to make that decision on whether to keep a child or not because of your circumstances, how you feel, where you are in your life. That's why I'm pro-choice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a pro-lifer because they have a tendency to, you know, they want pro-lifers, not all of them, but a lot of pro-lifers have a tendency to be anti-abortion. However, when that child comes to term, they ain't got nothing to say about it. Because that's when the real work starts. That's when the real work starts. When that fetus, when it goes from embryo to fetus to term to an actual living entity. Now what we gonna do? That's where your pro-lifers just jump ship on you and be like, okay, well, you know, nobody should be killing a living organism, but then once the living organism is here on Earth and it's tangible, now what we gonna do? And they're like, okay, well, I ain't got nothing to do with that. So I'm just I'm a pro-choice person. It's up to the individual.
Mm-hmm. It's up to the individual. Okay.
Yep.
All right. That sounds
may I respond? I have a much longer, I'll try to make it brief, but I have a much longer opinion than knowledge is. I just hope that you'd bear with me. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
If you're against abortion, don't have one.
Really, Beasley. I mean,
it's pretty simple, but it says a lot. If you're against abortion,
but, you know,
don't
what
have
about,
one.
What about, now I know some people are going to say, what about the extenuating circumstances that may accompany such things? Can you really still have that thing?
Mind your business.
Thought process?
My answer to that is mind your business. Sail your own ship. I'm consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Mind your business. Sail your own ship. If you're against abortions, don't have one. You could extend that to gay marriage.
Okay.
If you're against gay marriage,
well,
don't marry someone of the same gender as you. People make life far more difficult than it has to be.
Okay, so here's where the battle, or I'm not going to say battle, where the conversation really gets a little interesting, and I think we've had this conversation quite often on the show as well. When the female, okay, says, you know, I don't want to have the child, and the male says, well, I want to have the child, okay, but yet the female goes ahead and aborts the child. Is that still the correct way to be, or how does that come into play with this whole for or against? You know, if you're for and if you're against it, you know, how does that play into it? You know, because now you have two individuals instead of that one person.
It's a man's world, but it's a woman's choice.
That's
the way that it is. It may some may see it's unfair, but the truth of the matter is it's a man's world, but it's always a woman's choice. And that goes for relationships, abortions, and just about everything else. So it is what it is. People make their lives far more difficult and contentious than they have to be by worrying about, trying to decide what other people should do.
All right. Well, let me bring this other caller in, but I have another question I want to ask also, because I mean the way you make it seem like that decision is such a cut and dry decision to make.
Because
I don't
from a man's perspective, I've experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
So
you
it
experienced
is what it.
It
is. Yes.
So
more than once.
But here's the question though: when once you go, if you go, or the you hear that the fetus actually has a heartbeat, you know, that doesn't change your mind or you know, that doesn't change that this is really a person now? Or does that constitute being a person? Or is it still a
person?
No, go ahead. I think you were about to ask.
It doesn't change the rule. And the rule is it's a man's mm-hmm. world, but it's a woman's choice. Now, it may invoke mm-hmm. some feelings. It may not invoke mm-hmm. some feelings. But the rule is still the rule. And the rule is it's a man's mm-hmm. world, but it's a woman's choice.
Mm-mm-mm. Wow. Interesting.
That's the,
all right, let's bring this other call
though?
In. And, huh?
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, that's the truth, though. You have a good point. As your show critic said, in spite of Roe versus Wade, there is still a black market for abortion. Of course there is. You know what it's called? It's called CPS. But don't get me started on that. let me see. I got somebody else here who wants to come in if I can get the mic open. But, yeah, you know, CPS, they have their little game they play in that also. But let me bring up, see, 111, welcome to the show. What you got for me? Who am I speaking with? Hello? Anybody there? Okay, maybe they're not there. Hello? Let's see, maybe we'll shut them down and reopen them again. I see the hand up. 111, are you there? Hello? Okay. Anyway, all right. Well, interesting. So, Mr. Beasley, so basically you just say, you know, it's just a man's world and that's the way it's going to be, right?
When I say it's a man's world, that men have the positions of power in every institution, everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, women have just now, just have just cracked that a bit, but it's still, the ruling forces in the world are still probably 90% men. But that's what I think is man's world.
Okay.
But when it comes to a woman's choice, it's a woman's choice whether she decides to have a child or not have a child, and it's also a woman's choice as far as what man she chooses to deal with. You can't make a woman be with you. You know, it's a woman's choice. Women do the choosing.
Yeah, but okay, but you didn't make that woman lay down with you either. But hold on, let me bring on Renee in. I think Renee has something she want to add to the conversation. Hello, Renee, how are you doing this today?
I'm great. I'm great.
Good. So what you got for my conversation? I know you got something good for me.
For the abortion issue,
mm-hmm.
personally, for me, for myself, I'm pro-life. For other women,
okay.
I'm pro-choice. I think that, you know, in the first trimester anyway for a woman's pregnancy, it's a very touchy time, very fragile. A lot of women don't even tell people they're pregnant because it's much easier for you at that time to lose a baby. So if a woman is going to have an abortion, of course, you know, have it ASAP as soon as possible, as you can. My thing about it is, as far as trying to, you know, make all these definitions of if there's a heartbeat and if there's this and that, I mean, again, what does all that really mean? Because a lot of people still feel like, well, at the point of, you know, conception, you know, hey, then that's a child already, or, you know, some people then have the, you know, heartbeat, whatever the case is, it's still going to end
mm-hmm.
up in the same thing, you know, that you're aborting the child. I think this type of argument is circular, and it's done for a reason. It's put out there for a reason. The more important thing should be focusing on not getting pregnant. I don't understand where is all the money, the money, the support, the energy people put in, pro-life, pro-choice, and all that. That should be being aimed toward doing research, toward putting programs implemented that work as best as possible for young people, for young men and women, so that they don't have to deal with this issue until they are adults and they have a sound mind of what they want to do. And when you're dealing more with adults, I mean, women still have abortions, but you're more so in a position to be cautious about what you're doing. You know, a lot of times it's very young women that have abortions. So I think that, you know, that's where the focus should be at is preventing the whole situation to begin with. Because once they are pregnant, whether you have an abortion, you know, ASAP or you wait a little bit longer, it's still the same thing.
She made a good point, and you want to know what the irony is there? Is that the same?
What's the irony?
Is that the same people that are so against abortion, okay, that these are the same people that are against them teaching sex education in school and possibly
right.
handing out condoms or encouraging young women to get on birth control?
Right.
These are also the same people that call themselves pro-life that are also in favor of the death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Now that's an interesting analogy.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. You know, because that's the thing I don't get either. You know, I mean, people are going to have sex. You know, the younger you are, you know, teenagers, it's still going to always be peer pressure and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Why are we not, by you not speaking about it, by you not, you know, bringing it up and dealing with it, you're giving more power to sex, in my opinion, for young people, because it's like, oh, mm-hmm. they don't want to talk to us about it. They don't want to tell us about it. Ooh, I want to find out, you know, about it, because it's so secretive. And when you make it like that, you know, if you put it, make it, you know, so, ooh, it's mysterious. You know, the kids are going to be, you know, more prone to want to seek it out. I mean, they're going to do that anyway because of the hormones and all that stuff. And because the society we live in, you know, is very sexual. So we have to. I mean, that's like in the dark ages, not talking to kids about sex. I mean, it's just, you know, it should be a requirement.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Many,
okay.
many people,
you know what?
Many people don't.
Yeah, you have a point there, Beasley. And why isn't that? Is it, you know, Seth Robb says sex is overrated. I mean, are they really scared to open that can up with their kids now? Or are they just at least as educated as the children?
People are uncomfortable.
That's what it is. Okay.
I think they're uncomfortable. It's an uncomfortable area. I'll tell you a quick story, and I'll make it quick.
Mm-hmm.
I had a little poodle, and my brother had a poodle who was the next size up, a miniature. I had a little toy poodle, so my little toy poodle is chasing around his poodle trying to make puppies, but she wasn't really interested because he was smaller. They like dogs. Dogs like dogs the same size. So he was trying, and my niece, who was probably about 4, she said, why is Buster following her around like that? I said, he's trying to make puppies. And as soon as I said that, she said, Daddy, where do puppies come from? He said, God damn it, see what you started.
Oh, okay. Oh, man. Now, I guess the next question would be, then I'm going to bring Maze in. You know, at what age do you have this conversation
Uh-oh.
With your kids? Is it at the earliest
questions.
Age possible, or is it around the start of puberty, or when do you have this conversation with your kids?
Well, I'm 4 years older than my brother, and I needed explanations right away why I couldn't sit on my mother's lap and why her stomach was getting bigger. So I got an explanation probably a lot younger than others, but I had pretty progressive parents when it came to discussing things like that.
Just a quick question on that, though, what you said, and not to take it to this, but when you said, you know, you said if you don't, you said if you don't want an abortion or don't believe in abortion, don't get an abortion, and you were saying how that relates to gay marriage. But what you just said there about you couldn't sit on your mom's lap because her, you know, her belly was getting big and all that. Mm-hmm. How do you propose young children then are taught about gay marriage and gay parenting? Because they don't see a man with a big belly, and they might know their mom had a belly, and then they had their little brother.
do they even need to be taught about gay marriage? I'd wait till they start asking questions.
Well, yes, because when
how
it
important,
passes
how, I think gay
in
marriage,
a state,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
When it passes in a state, it becomes part of the curriculum, starting in elementary school. That's why they have the books, Daddy and His Roommate, and
I'm hearing that.
Yeah,
I'm hearing that, and that's definitely alarming and interesting. I don't know. As a parent, I would probably which means they're going to come home asking questions sooner.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd probably have to starting to address that as soon as they introduce it, and your kid comes home to ask questions. I would probably ask them what are they telling you in school.
Yeah,
I would give my input on it there, and it would probably be
that kind of does put it on the front burner, especially in today's society, huh?
Right. I mean, but when I was just like anybody else, I mean, when I'm in the first and second grade, we're curious about sex. We don't really understand that much. You know, some understand more than others. Even though it was explained to me at a real young age that, you know, mommy has the egg and daddy has the seed and they get together, I still didn't understand sex, but they were just trying to explain how the whole process takes place. And then as I got a little older, I was like, that's not true. That doesn't happen like that. That doesn't happen like that. They were, well, you know, you've got to put that with the backdrop of all the BS that your parents teach you too.
Well,
Santa Claus. How do I know? You know, when you're telling me this, and you're also telling me about.
Hello.
Hello.
What's that?
Call going off. Okay, I got it.
Oh, no, I question that because when you're telling me this story and you're also telling me about Santa Claus and you're also telling me about the Easter Bunny, you know, I got to sort this out for myself. You got to kind of, just like you do in life now, you have to sort what's real and what's BS.
Right.
That's true.
I was just throwing it out there because children don't have the capacity to,
right,
like, to say no and justify all that stuff and, you know, figure it out in their head. And when you brought that up and you were saying, you know, mom's belly and things like that, I was just kind of bringing that.
I don't ever remember, okay, now it wasn't taught in school or it wasn't taught about in school. I don't ever remember having questions about homosexuals and gay marriage and gay couples. I don't remember that ever coming up, and I probably formulated my own opinions. I don't think I ever had to consult my parents for that.
Well, because it wasn't as out front in the public eyes as it is now.
It's not out front.
That was something that just wasn't spoken. That was something that just wasn't spoken about. You know what I mean?
At all.
Yeah. Let me bring Maze in. She's been waiting kind of patiently. Let me bring Maze in.
Hello,
Maze. What's going on?
Hi. About the abortion stuff. I think people complain about people. If the people want to have an abortion, that's their business. It's nobody else's business of what you want to do with your body, because you know what you did to get that way, and you know what to do with those that want to. I don't believe in abortion. I would try to get somebody that was going to get one to change their mind, but I'm not going to condemn them because they got one. But some people have to do it medically. Some people have to do it medically and have it and don't want to, but they do it because to save their life. So I'm saying this abortion stuff is like a come to Jesus kind of moment. It's like you're sinning and all this stuff, and then you want to put them in, just like Beasley said, put them in the electric chair. We don't care. Because if you believe in the death penalty, you believe in abortion too.
Maze and I.
I have a comment when she's done. I have
can I finish? Excuse me. And then when Beasley said he said his mother's lap and he saw her stomach getting bigger and bigger, it's just like the kid had Uncle John or Aunt Sally over there kissing on the woman, and they saw it and they was curious. It's curiosity. And then if you don't have somebody to sit there and explain it to them, they are confused. And that's how you solve problems like that. That's my opinion. Okay.
Maze and I agree on most things. It's
all right,
basic,
go ahead, Renee.
Basic,
I know you had something you wanted to say.
Approach to life.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll leave that alone. But I was going to say that I have a cousin who is in the medical field, and she's was going to in the program to become like a medical researcher and things of that sort, medical school. And she was doing a, internship in Brooklyn at the Brooklyn Women's Clinic. And she said that, you know, at first when I was talking to her about it, she started, she felt really good about it. She felt that, it, you know, she was doing a noble thing, helping, you know, young women and so on and so forth. A lot of them, you know, lower socioeconomic standing or what have you. Well, as she continued to work there, after about a year and a half, she had to leave. She wanted to go somewhere else. And the reason why is because she saw the same girls over and over and over and over and over. And there were tons of them, and they were constantly coming in pregnant, getting abortions. And even though they would, you know, try to talk to them, because you can't really say certain things, you know, because of, you know, all the laws and things. But in just trying to talk to them and trying to, you know, help them to understand some things, they don't really care. And they will tell you that. And if they get pregnant, they will come in there and get it taken care of. They don't want to wear protection. They don't want to use protection. They don't care to be on birth control. And it's a repetitive thing. So we have to understand that, you know, while there are issues, there are medical issues, definitely, there are other issues of rape and things like that. But there are a hell of a lot of women. And I know I can name so many of my friends and family members that have had abortions that I know of, had at least one.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other ones. You know, I'm sure they've had more than that, and they probably didn't tell me or whatever. So we got, you know, there's a segment maybe men don't realize or other people don't realize, but it's a large number of girls who rely on abortion for birth control. So I just wanted to put that out there. If she had to leave, she was tired. She couldn't do it anymore. And I can't remember what year that was, and if it may still be now, but there were more babies, black babies, aborted in the state of New York than were born.
Oh, that's what I
recently.
That's what I hear over conservatives say about how many babies was aborted in New York by black women. But some people, when you talk about abortion clinics, a lot of times, depending on where you are, it's not who they're counting that's going in those clinics don't look like the people that they're counting as having an abortion. But I'm saying,
okay, hold on. Wait a minute. Stop. We're not going there today.
Okay. No.
I already know where
I'm
you're going. We're not going there today. We went there yesterday.
No,
I understand what
you're
saying, and we went there yesterday. We're not going there today.
Well,
okay.
Here's
the question, though. Here's the question that I'm putting out there. If this is the case, and a lot of us feel the way we do, should this be a part of the conversation?
No.
Should this be a part of the conversation about sex that should be included? It's talking about abortion. I mean, of course you should be talking about the protection and all that also. But did there be something in this conversation when you're having it with your child or whoever about abortion and maybe the harm it can do or the good it can do, however you view it? Should that be a part of the sexual conversation that you have with your kids?
Some people are afraid to have this conversation with their kids.
Well, I understand that, Miss. But should it be a part of the conversation, whether you're scared or you're afraid or not?
Yes, it should.
What should be a part of the conversation is if they have an abortion, because, like I said, some people have it for medical reasons. Some stillborn women have abortions. They don't talk about the abortion.
That's the minority.
They don't talk about the phases of an abortion. Give them that part, too.
That's a minority. That's going to be more of an anomaly than it is, you know.
So now they have the after whatever kind of pill. A lot of those young girls are taking those now, so they don't even have to be pregnant at all.
Can I add something to this, please, real quick? Okay, and I firmly believe this. The whole topic of abortion
is political.
Women need to understand. Get men out the damn conversation.
Yes.
They don't get pregnant. They don't carry babies. They have periods psychologically, but not physically. This is an issue that women need to spearhead, take the forefront, grab this damn bulls by the horn, come up with a consensus, some type of decision, and then do it. Wait, Mr. Talk. When you get men involved in something they have nothing to do with, they're not always going to consider what's in your best interest. And I'm done.
Wait a minute. How the heck are you going to say get men out of it when it took two of y'all to lay down there and get it? So how is the man not going to be included in
it? Mr. Talk. That's not
that's
my
not what
point.
He's saying.
Oh, Mr. Talk. When's the last time you carried a baby?
I understand what your point
when's
is.
The last,
but
okay,
my point
let's
is
stick
also,
with it.
This is part of me. That is part of me as well.
Okay.
You know, so
let me
be saying what
all
happened.
All right. Let me flip the script on you. Let me flip the script and just show you. Let me give you a visual of what I'm talking about. Are women sitting around making decisions, setting policies, putting it into law, what you can do with that thing that's hanging between your legs?
Thank
Are they
you.
Doing that?
No.
I'm done. ain't nobody telling you what to do with your little thing. Now, you can run around. You can run around. You can stick it in a bottle. You can cork it. You can get it snipped. You can lay up with whoever you want to lay up with.
And you can
Ain't nobody stopping you.
And can women have a conversation like that with me? No, they can't.
Good Lord.
And wait. See, you're not listening to what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that there is no woman who's walking this earth who can tell me what to do with my dick. Excuse my French. Okay?
Right.
However, you got all these men telling women what to do with their uterus and what to do with their vagina.
Yes.
Okay.
Something's wrong with that.
Okay, you
something
know what?
Is wrong with that.
You know what, knowledge? That's fine. Okay. You know, I'm buy into that little scenario right there you just put out there. And if that's the case then, when they decide to have that child that I don't want to have, tell them to stay away, the hell away from my pocket. Okay?
Right.
And since we don't beat it, we don't do it like that.
But who's coming up with child support though?
No.
Who's coming up with child support?
This is the problem.
And this is how
I break it down and define it. Men have the power, but a lot of times they don't use it. Men have the power in the beginning of the situation, meaning that you make a choice if you're going to lay down with her or not. You make the choice if you're going to take the condom off or not. You make the choice in that position. Now, accidents do happen and things are kind of broke, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, the situation is your choice at the beginning, right? Because you're laying down with this woman. So if you lay down with her, then you have a baby by her. She keeps the baby. You talk about how awful of a mother she is and how low down and blah, blah, blah. You chose her. You chose to be in a, put yourself in a situation with her where she could actually come to be the child of mother of your child. So men have power in the beginning. Women have power in the beginning, but we also have power throughout. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that, that I agree that women have to make the choices about it, is because at the end of the day, you're going to be the one having to take care of yourself properly, walking around pregnant, back hurt, everything going back and forth to the hospital, pushing out this baby. And when that baby come out, they're going to throw it up on your chest and say, here you go. And you're going to be the one in control of that child.
And at the end of the day, no matter what people, kids do, people always say if the kid is bad or whatever, they say, where's your mama? They hardly ever say, where's your daddy? So,
Can I ask Mr. Talk a question? What if a bunch of women what if a bunch of women was just screaming at you, telling you need to get a vasectomy so you can't make no babies anyway?
Would you be happy with that? That bull crap.
No, it's not bull crap.
What?
It's just a question.
Would I be happy with that? If I'm not out there, look, you know what? If I'm out there making babies like that, them guys that got in Tennessee and somewhere else got 20-something kids and paying like 50 cents child support, yeah, he should get a vasectomy. But if I'm out there making kids or you know, just bringing them out here just to be bringing them out there, no. And I feel the same way about, you know, if it's one baby, fine. Okay, I understand that. But if she out there just laying there popping them out like popcorn, and if he doing the same thing, yeah, then something should be done. You know,
I mean,
so
I
don't
think
bring
they have
that one on me, Maze. We done tried that before.
No, I think they should have a choice. I said if women were telling you that. But men should have a choice because if they didn't want kids, that's what they do, some of them.
But, I mean, that's a conversation that we had, but, you know, look, it's like this. If you lay down together, I think that's a decision that should be made together. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. You lay down together, both of you knew the risk. You knew either one of you using protection, you can't say you don't, because if you didn't have it, then you part of the blame, just like the other person that didn't have it when y'all laid down together. Right?
But some of them do
so,
lay down together.
I mean, you decided the man and the woman. So you decided together that this was something you was going to do, and you was going to take the risk of possibly having a child together when you don't use protection. Just that simple. Now, when it comes down to the child and all this decision, I feel that the decision should be made together. It shouldn't be one way or the other.
Well, y'all
that's the way
contract.
I feel about it.
That's the way you
feel
about
it. But some
women don't never let
the
man know until the child is 18 years old and that he had a son. And he thought he couldn't have any children. And
this is what I'm going to say about that, though. When you say that the man, this is the thing, though. When you say the choice should be made together, I agree with that. I'll accept that. But this is after the fact that she's pregnant. But I put it like this. If after the fact and he knows the condom broke or whatever and this conversation happens. But I feel like if a man sits there and he tells a woman, I don't want children, I'm not going to take care of this child. I don't want children. I don't want you.
With a man really doesn't want, he don't want her.
Right. I don't. But wait, listen. I don't want children. You know, I'm letting you know that now. I don't really plan on being a dad right now. I've got this, that, and the other going on. So if you choose to have this child, because at the end of the day, he can't make her do nothing, okay? So if you choose to have this child,
you know
please
what?
Understand, I don't want a kid. Now,
he should take every precautions he can to protect himself. And if he doesn't, then he has no grounds to stand on. But she should be doing the same thing.
But then he does have grounds. He has grounds to say that because a woman has the grounds to go say she's going to have an abortion and not even tell the man that she's not pregnant. So then he should be able to say, hey, I don't want kids. So if you choose to go through with the pregnancy.
But see, where's the responsibility then? Then he should take enough responsibility to ensure that that's not going to happen.
But that's what I'm saying.
That just
the responsibility
saying, okay,
is at the beginning.
Away.
The responsibility is at
the
beginning. That's you. After you do it, anything can happen. You can get a disease. She can get pregnant. Whatever. That's why you have to let these young people know the decision is in the beginning, and you cannot always just react on your hormones and your feelings and what's going on. They need tactics to be able to understand the situation. They need to know the consequences. Show these young girls and young boys what abortions look like. Those babies look like. Show these young boys, if you're working this job as a trash man and you have kids, this is what your child support payments will look like.
Renee,
show them some real-life examples.
You know, you're coming from a good place. I understand you. But those hormones and those emotions, they overrule logic each and every day.
Yes.
Each and every day.
But hold on, let's... All right, hold on for a minute. Let's throw some chaos in here. Let's bring Michael in and see what he has to add to the conversation. Welcome, Michael. Right. How are you today?
Let me tell you what I tell my sons. My sons are here with me. Let me tell you what I tell my sons, right? Straight up like this.
Right.
I lead the generation, all this chaos and confusion, all this dumb stuff. First of all, a man knows when he's going to ejaculate in a woman, and a woman knows when a man is going to ejaculate in her.
Oh, Lord.
That's number
Not
one.
Not always.
Come on.
Not always.
Come on, bro. Listen to me. Not no always. Listen. Come on. This is we're making adults. We're sounding like adolescents on the phone right now. This is not hard. This is really not
but Michael,
hard.
Michael.
I haven't even finished.
Michael, let me ask this question. I know, but I got to ask you this question before you get going down the road. But let me ask you this question. Let me ask you this question so you have a chance to rebut my question. I'm about to answer it. Now, why can't you have this question before you decide to ejaculate inside a woman?
Right.
Why can't you have this conversation before you get to that point? The conversation. About whether you want to have a child or not. Why do you have to wait to ejaculate to decide you want to have this conversation?
Oh, well, that's a whole other different story. I mean, you guys, I agree with that, of course. But let's say, now we're talking about abortions. Let's say they have a conversation and like Joe said, someone's lying, right? Now, by the law, let's go with this. I agree that no one man should ever convince a woman to have an abortion. That's just a personal own. When you're talking about whether a heartbeat situation of North Dakota, listen, when someone is brain dead and their heart is still beating, people always pull the plug. We don't say it's murder. It's a different situation, right? So are you defined by life? The bottom line is it takes two people to have a baby. If we have laws and we should teach our males, when you ejaculate in her, all this whether I'm not going to take care of her because she shouldn't have had a baby because I ain't want a dummy, no son. You did what you did, and you knew what you did, and you should protect yourself factually. If we're going to give them a baton in our society, saying a woman has the right to the suit, have the last to say, us men, knowing that they have that right, should prepare ourselves before we do it. You have to define the mentality of the woman that you're ejaculating in. And it's both sides. Women should also remind herself who the man is letting, which man or what type of man is ejaculating on her. It's just as simple as that. That's the conversation before that. But saying that
Michael,
woman should not have the last say or something like that, because that's debatable too. Men always debate that.
Okay.
Thank you, Michael.
But I think you just wanted to talk nasty. That's what that was. Hold on. Let me bring Erica in real fast. Let me bring Erica in.
Let me say something real quick. A woman doesn't always know when a man is going to ejaculate. Let's be clear. She doesn't always know.
Okay.
And you know what? Men and women don't also know the character of the person that they're sleeping with.
Correct.
And
different circumstances will show different parts.
All right, let me correct myself. I'm not a woman.
Hold on.
I've spoken to conversations with women. I heard that. That's all I'm saying, man.
Okay, hold on. Let me bring Erica in. Okay, Erica, are you there?
They're having a conversation.
You have
to be at the swearing ceremony tomorrow.
Apparently.
She's talking to somebody.
Okay. Yeah. I guess Erica, when she gets finished, she'll come back in. But you know, I think you had that conversation way before. way before you get
but
to
that
ejaculation
happen.
Lady
yeah.
part.
Huh?
That
doesn't happen. That's why we're in this
situation
we're in right now.
Because usually, if you get to that point in time, it's kind of too late, don't you think?
Exactly. I mean, that's the whole point. That's why I said before any of this abortion stuff. They need to be put in schools. This is what happens if you do this. Now, like the other person was saying, yes, hormones and all that stuff, lust and horniness and all that are powerful motivators. And they can, you know, blind your sensibilities and everything. However, if we stop making this such a hush-hush thing and quiet and trying to hide it and not talk about it, then that even more so pushes the hormones because then you really want to find out what it's about. So we got to take some of the mystery out of it, and we got to also hit them with that reality. This is what you're going to have to pay for. This is, ladies, this is how you're going to be up at night when your baby's sick and crying. You're going to be feeding, making bottles. You're going to be doing this and that. Let them know.
Mister,
there you go.
Long time ago, before abortion thing got political, in the community, when a man laid down with a woman, the thing that they had to do was get married and stay in the same house and raise the child together.
Well, you know, before you begin that, I don't know how many of y'all, how old y'all are, but I know when I was in school, we had home ec. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and
right.
Had them little babies they used to have to take home, you know, you know, and that deterred a lot in itself. Now, I don't know, you know, whether they still do that today or not, and maybe that would help a little bit. I don't know.
But that's,
you know,
not
I
enough
still think that's, this is a conversation that should be had before the hormones get deranging and they find out that, you know, the little boys can rub on them, the little girls can rub on the little boys, and, you know, all the hormones get to going crazy. These are conversations that should be had way before it even gets to that point. You know, that's the way I'm feeling right now.
What confused me is that they're having too many babies and then they're having abortions. That's what's confusing me.
Well, that's
complaining about both.
I think, you know, that goes back to what we were talking about yesterday, Mae. If we're not educating our children at an early age, then we wait, you know, by the time they start having babies, it's too late to educate them then because the damage is done. You know, it's a cycle. If you pay attention, usually it's a cycle within the family anyway, on the male and the female side. So if we're not working trying to break that cycle that's constantly going on, then, you know, we feed into it. And once the cycle has begun again, then, you know, you really defeated the purpose because now the cycle is continuing at least for another generation. You see what I'm saying?
Because,
and that's what we really have to fight. But let me see
if
Erica is ready to talk now. Erica, are you there?
He's still talking with somebody.
Apparently.
They're
talking.
What's going on?
Okay. I don't know.
She's having a personal
but
conversation
anyway, go ahead.
With somebody.
But what you were saying is so right. If you were raised up in a home environment and how it is now, honestly, in a lot of black communities, you see your mama had all of y'all, you know, without a dad, without a husband or whatever. You see your sister, she got her 2-3 babies by different baby daddies. They're not really involved or they may be in and out. She's taking care of them. Your other sister got 2 kids, you know, just single mothers. Your best friend, your cousins, all the girls in the neighborhood are all other black girls your age with babies. Like, what is the deterrent to do it? Like, what is being shown that there's another alternative to that? People tend to, like you said, fall into the same behaviors generation after generation. And that's the whole problem why people don't understand why having 2 parents is a big deal. Because we are fostering an environment that when you just have this one, have mama, that's okay, that's good enough. And, you know, girls, go ahead. If you get pregnant, just go ahead and have your baby. You don't have to worry about none of that.
But yes, they do. They have to worry about it because if mom and daddy was together and daddy and mama broke up, mama got married, and then she got another family over there, and either daddy broke up and got started in another family, or you still got that family going on that's not together that had mom and daddy in the house. You got to share brothers and sisters on the other side of town where they left each other, and that's a whole different story.
But that's not everybody.
But,
everybody,
I mean, come
mom
on
and daddy
that's
wasn't family. Together in the house.
You got that kind of family out there, too.
That is,
but
responsibility.
Yeah, but Maze, that doesn't mean that, Maze, that doesn't mean that's a bad thing. If you still have both parents communicating with each other and standing on in one with the child and educating that child, then that's still not a bad thing.
Neither one of them are bad. It's just because she's a single mother, that doesn't make them less of a child. How you going to tell a person from a single parent than one that's in the hospital with 2 parents? If you don't know it and they didn't tell you and they went and did everything they needed to do and was successful, how do you tell the difference between the two? That's what I always say. I might be smoking something. I'm in reality how I deal and see people.
I don't know about that reality. I know what my reality is, what I see and observe.
My reality is different from other people, from everybody's.
Yeah, we noticed.
I get thrown out a lot of families because of this. But see, I still love y'all anyway, but I do not care. That's my opinion. No, not my opinion. That's my fact.
Well,
because what I'm speaking
well,
is fact.
We love you,
not,
too.
Okay. I'm not upset. I'm just telling you for what
well,
I know.
I'll give you an example.
And
I'll give you an example.
And
one of my
my
best
father,
friends.
They always say a mother and father got to be in the house. Martin Luther King was dead, and she raised all of those kids by herself.
But what does that mean?
And
no,
they
that means,
right.
that means that's what
house.
People should
and
do.
A lot of people.
Loretta Scott King had to raise
okay.
her right. kids when her husband got killed. I mean, what does that mean? That really doesn't mean.
Yeah. I mean, that.
That
was
a large
difference. The lady can't
I mean,
help because her husband got shot. Good Lord.
Right. Right.
Betty Shabazz actually, Betty Shabazz had it harder.
Oh, Lord.
Yes, she did.
Mercy.
But that's, you giving an example of, that's like extraordinary. That's like not, that's
yeah.
not typical. You know, most women's men
oh.
having gotten killed and being a fighter for, and actually, and they were married too. So let's talk about that. They were married. So then she
mm-hmm.
had to go on and raise those kids by herself. And the kids understood what happened to their father. But you're talking about situations
right.
that have nothing to do with that, where the daddy is not dead. Or he may be sometimes, but the baby's not dead. He might be in prison, but or he might have families elsewhere. But the mom and daddy wasn't married, so that's that's something else.
That's true. Very true. All right, we're gonna try one more time. Erica, are you there? Okay, I guess Erica got tired of waiting and just forgot to turn her phone off. Okay. Anyway, wow. You know what? But. I think, man, this has been a great conversation. I like this.
I mean,
but,
it's true
you know,
a woman
think,
can... A wo- Go ahead,
huh?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Beasley.
No, it's true that a woman can raise children on her own, but I would have to say that the odds of a child becoming a well-adjusted member of society, the odds probably lean toward better having two parents in the home.
They do.
You
now
know
there's going to be,
you
know be there's going to be exceptions. There's going to be
right.
exceptions.
Yeah.
Of course, there's always you can always pick out one situation that doesn't fit the stats. But we're talking about you know a large group of people, and it's probably
but
better.
See, you know what?
To
you know what, Beasley? You know, I used to believe, I used to really get into that little aspect of it right there. But what I've come to find out is, in you know, even though the nuclear family is a great thing to have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times, if you just have a very positive male role model in your child's life, that makes a
mm-hmm.
difference. It doesn't necessarily have to be the one that lives in the house. You know, don't
right.
get me wrong. That's, you know, that's great. But
yeah, I
but
think it's far better than that positive
it's not
role model would be the biological father.
Because I have seen instances. I mean, I have seen instances where this has happened, and the young men have grown up to be outstanding young men. You know, they not haven't been hanged because there was still a positive role model in their family within the family unit. You know what I'm
right.
saying? Whether
yeah,
it's,
but
it's
that's
uncle it. Or grandfather or what have you. You know, that's all I'm saying.
But that's also the exception. That shouldn't be the rule. That should be the exception
yeah.
because you should have the father there in a position to be the right role model for the child. I mean, that's just a given.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you are somebody in a situation and things, again, life happens. It happens. If
right.
you are a woman in that situation, then that's exactly it. You need to make the proper steps to have men who are upstanding, who are good, positive role models for your children, for your sons especially, but sons and daughters. To be involved in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So that I agree with you on that level, but, you know, your parents should always still be your first teachers. Your parents should always still be your example to begin with. So.
Really? And if you don't have parents, who should
you
be?
Know, I can't even argue with that. So what, Mike, I mean, maybe.
That's because some kids go to foster homes, and they grow up without their own mother and their father. They go into foster homes, and they still be outstanding citizens. They have
their
great fathers and their great mothers, but they didn't grow up in
the hospital.
Somebody
that
the majority
foster children are not. But the odds are going to be better for someone to be a well-adjusted member of society if they
right.
have a mother and father, or they have their parents involved. Of course, there's always the person that's going to be, you know, that's going to be the rose that grew out of the cracks.
That's
but
right. There
we're, just
talk,
we're just talking about
the
overall odds. And
oh,
I'll
okay.
give you an example.
Right.
What about that kid that was calling in those shows, the one from Chicago, talking about the whole system's messed up. It's all doomed. It will never work. He's 23 years old, hasn't even really experienced life yet, hasn't really made a real effort of trying to make something of himself, but he's already given up hope. That he's,
and, he
probably, he's a,
and he could have had a mother and a father in the house.
No, but he's a product of foster care. He's a product of having no mother and father, no one that really cared to encourage him. I mean, he probably got food and shelter. He probably got food and shelter, but did he have someone that truly, truly loved and cared about him that would sacrifice their own life for his well-being? No.
Very good point.
That's just an example.
Yeah.
You know what, though? Has anyone really paid attention to where this conversation has gone? We went from actually being
having
a fetus to having babies to the child being able to have children, you know, to now just raising an adult.
And they complaining about
wow.
that.
Before that, we were talking
yeah.
about bat poop and don't eat bats. And rats.
But we still get along.
Well, I ain't talking about no, I'm just saying
it's
a conversation. It's amazing, man.
But you know,
it's
all
amazing.
Those things,
that's why I love my show.
All those things
huh?
went together, though.
Yes.
So we don't
I know.
Agree.
That's
but
what
we
I'm
can
saying.
Still get along.
You know, it went through that gradual progression that it usually goes anyway. That was
right.
that what I was talking, speaking of.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
all
why
right,
I always
y'all.
Say,
well,
you know.
That's right. We don't all have to think alike. Because we all don't look alike. We all don't sound alike. But we can still have a conversation.
Damn sure
that's
all don't
true,
Maze.
Thank you. Okay. Renee, you
thing.
About to
always,
say something?
I always say that, you know, the issues with the black community are many, but a lot of times, not necessarily the solution overall for everything, of course, but part of the solution is very, I mean, it's straight to the point. The more family structure you have, the more things will line up. And that reason is because when people get in a position of having a family and staying together and building unity, then the importance becomes more about the children, more about keeping the family unit together, making things work. When you have all of this, everybody's scattered around. You got kids around them everywhere. You got this over here, that over here. When you have that, that doesn't breed unity overall. So when you're building a family, then people are going to be like, you know what, I want these schools to be better for our kids. You know, I want these parks to be cleaned up so our kids can play. I want the neighborhood to look nice so our kids can play. But when you go around and you're not having responsibility and you're just dropping off babies here, there, and everywhere, then, I mean, you it's not really as important to you in sticking in that family and making that family strong.
You know, you're right. I've read interviews of young rappers, and you know, and they had a anti-social message. They were young, coming from where they're coming from, and each one of them spoke in the different interviews that I've read. They said, "Well, you know, you're singing a different song. Your attitude seems to change than it was 10 years ago." And they said, "You know, my world changed when I brought a child into this world. I started caring. Mm-hmm. I started caring about things that I didn't care about before." Right. I mean, so there it is.
And some don't know what a family structure is with it. They think it's a family structure, but they don't know what a family structure is. So let one of them get out of line. I hate you. I don't like you anymore. Instead of taking that family and putting your arms around and hugging them, you want to throw them out and just let them go through the side. Oh, he ain't going to be ripping nothing. Then he go outside and make something of himself, and you think the world of it.
That happens a lot. How many athletes do you see, like Shaq and those other athletes, Colin Kaepernick, who've had parents that either abandoned them or didn't participate in their life, or Colin Kaepernick, his mother gave him up for adoption, but they want to come back around. They want to come back around after these kids make a success of themselves.
Yeah.
So you never know the child that you'll be neglecting.
Nope.
That's right.
Or the people, as you go along that you neglect. You might be neglecting the wrong one.
You know what? And you really are an excuse for a man that would make a child and not participate and do your best to support that child and their life. You really, and I notice of my friends, the people that have been my friends for a long time, none of them have that in their history. All of them are responsible and care and do the right thing. And I've had associations and friends that haven't been responsible in that area, but the friendship doesn't seem to last that long. Because these are people that generally, because they can't take responsibility. And as a grown man that has to take responsibility for everything that happens in my life, you know, it just doesn't jive with people that are irresponsible like that. Not that I carry the flag of responsibility like I'm the most responsible person in the world, but I've been handling my business for years.
There you go.
So you kind of build who you are. And I don't have children, but had I had children, when I look at how I was indulged and taken care of and supported, and there were always there people there for me, and I'm talking about parents, step-parents, and grandparents, I would really be a piece of shit if I were to make a child and not do anything and everything to help support that child in every way that I can. There you go.
Very good. Mr. Beasley. All right. I'm going to have to stop you right there, Mr. Beasley, because, you know, we can go on with this topic here, as always. But I want to thank everybody for participating, but we got to get up out of here, man. You know, I got to go and check on my equipment. But before we get out of here, I'm going to let y'all go on and get your last words in. And we're going to start with Mr. Ejaculate himself. Michael, are you there? Get your last words in. Michael, going once. Michael, going twice. Okay, Mike, we catch you tomorrow. Thanks for calling in, man. You know we love you. All right. Bessie Mays, where you be? Get your last words in.
I'm here. Some people don't know what a family structure is. Once you learn what a family structure is, you don't push them out. You keep them in, and you help take care of them and may help them grow and keep the bridge going and not split it just because you don't agree with what's going on.
All right. Well, thank you, Ms. Mays. And we'll see you tomorrow.
I sure will.
All right. Next up is Miss Renee in the house. Miss Renee, your last words, please.
Yeah. We need to talk to our children about sex from a reality standpoint. We need to be realistic about it. We need to tell them what really, really, really happens when you have a baby and how responsible you are for that child. And that's all I had to say. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you. And we'll see you tomorrow as well. All right. We're going to go to Mr. Beasley.
I've said enough. I only wish I wasn't IP Dan from Blog Talk Radio where I can go back and hear myself talk. So, oh, well. Good job.
IP Dan, Lord.
Shit happens.
Oh, wow.
You're the
All
only
right.
show that I've
heard right,
on Blog Talk Radio because I don't remember any of the numbers. And I'm trying to cure myself of this affliction. But I enjoyed the show today. Have a good afternoon.
All right. Thank you, sir. You too. All right. Let me see. We got Mr. N2K. He's still around. Mr. Knowledge, you there?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
Great show as always. Glad to hear everybody's opinion and their philosophies. And I'm gone.
All righty, sir. Well, thank you. And we'll see you tomorrow as well. And let's see. I see somebody popped in and popped back out. Let me try them one more time. I'm be nice. Michael, you there? Okay, maybe that's just my imagination. Okay, he muted himself and forgot. All right, once again, y'all, I want to thank everybody for participating in the show today. You know, Knowledge, Beasley, Renee, Mays, Michael, Chef Rob, Michael, you know, Missionary Michael, you know, everybody in the chat room, everybody out there listening that I, you know, that you listen, whether it be in archives or live, thank y'all. I really appreciate you, and without you, I know I'll just be talking to dead air. So thank you for listening and supporting the show. Well, y'all, that's going to do it today. As I mentioned before, we're still working on equipment, getting our new equipment up and running. So, you know, we may go through a little bumps here and there, but we will be on the air as much as we can. You got any comments you want to send me? You can send it to ericletstalk@gmail.com, the Facebook page, Let's Talk to Eric Jackson at facebook.com. Okay, the email is ericletstalk@gmail.com. I get to confuse all these .coms going on. if you want to leave me a message on the show, there's a message thing where you can leave a comment or message in the chat on the message board on the show. I check that also. On the show page, you can leave a comment on the bottom of that. Hey, however, just let me know what you're thinking, all right? Any ideas for topics or anything you want to talk about, let me know. I'd be more than happy to hook it up for you, all right? Well, that's been it. It's been fun. Enjoyed it, man. And we're going to be here the same time tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, 1 Mountain Time. Remember, keep smiling, show appreciation, forgive with an open heart. But make sure you forgive yourself before you can forgive anyone else. And the bottom line, learn to laugh at yourself, man. Because if you can laugh at yourself, then there's not too much that's going to bother you. That's for sure. All right? Well, until tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central, y'all, it's been fun. I love you. I got to go enjoy the rest of your day. You enjoy the rest of your evening, and we'll see y'all tomorrow. This has been Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm the host, Ms. Talks, and I'm saying
bye-bye.